And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to this week's Shout Out.
In this show, Saskia's latest.
We talk to Alid about U equals U.
And the plus part of the LGBTQ community under the Brawley podcast.
All right, here in the next hour.
News, views and chat with a bit of music thrown in.
Right here on Shout Out. Go on, sneeze, I dare you.
I've held it in.
Sorry, I was just about to put the mics up, and like, I looked over there and Hannah's there holding her nose in that. I'm not going to sneeze. I'm not going to sneeze. So, hello, Hannah, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
So, I have to ask, is your symbol round your neck the Deathly Hallows?
It is. Oh, yes.
Oh, Harry Potter good. Look fan. At me.
Very good, yes. So, and a shark's tooth, which is not linked to Harry Potter.
No.
No.
No. although it could be Patronus or something, couldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, a shark could be my Patronus, yeah. But I think I got something very unshark-like.
What do you think your Patronus would be then?
Well, I have done it on Pottermore, but all I can ever remember is that my partner got a hedgehog and she was mortified. So everyone asks me, oh, I got a falcon.
You got a falcon?
I got a falcon, yes, which works with the last name.
So I know that Andy's would be a gummy bear.
Yes.
Most definitely.
And yours?
I don't know.
How did you find out?
You go on Pottermore, the website, and you log in, make an account, and you go through the sorting ceremony. They put you into your house. I'm Ravenclaw, and then you choose your wand.
Of course you
and
are.
Then you, I know, right? And then you do your, and then you do Patronus, which is a really nice quiz, actually.
You think you'd be Slytherin?
No, Hufflepuff.
You think I'll be Hufflepuff?
Yeah. Slytherin.
No. That pointing doesn't work on the radio.
You have to
say, I'm now pointing at Andy.
I'm now pointing at Andy.
Which Andy? Which Andy?
Not the H.
I love Slytherins, by the way. Mm. I think they're great. So.
Do you?
Yeah. Definitely.
Which is the gayest of the houses, do you think?
Hufflepuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's why you think I'm in Hufflepuff.
No, I just think
because I'm gayer than springtime.
Well, okay. Yes, that's the reason. And this Andy a Gryffindor.
I have a funny feeling I did do it once and I was Gryffindor.
You were Gryffindor?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. I remember some hat talking to me. I always thought the hat's brilliant. So I mean, if you go to Orlando, you can actually go up and it talks to you on the rides and all sorts.
Oh, I'd love that.
The thing I thought was amazing in Orlando is the kids can buy the wands, mm-hmm. and all the shops have got sensors in the front, and the wands actually work. So you see the kids walking up to the shops and waving their wands, and with that, all the things in the windows do things. And you just think it's absolutely amazing.
I would think that was amazing.
The creepiest bit was going to the toilet with Moaning Myrtle. Genuinely, in the gents' toilet in Orlando, you have Moaning Myrtle in the background wailing at you. It's the oddest experience ever. So. Nothing to do with LGBT plus radio, but anyway. So I just spotted your symbol.
Dumbledore's gay, so there is a tenuous link.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't had that in the new films, really, yet, have we?
Not yet.
Kind of like brushed upon it, but I believe it's coming, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
So anyway, we ought to kind of catch up with Saskia, haven't we?
I think we should.
Yeah.
Saskia 5. Oh, yes.
Hey everyone, I'm Sasky and welcome to this week's LGBTQ Shoutout Radio, and I have another amazing member of our queer community with me today. Please everyone welcome from Unite UK, Charlotte Summers, who is the co-founder, I believe. Charlotte, how are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, it's all good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm so excited to speak to you. I love anyone who's doing anything to do with supporting our queer community, and you, plus your other co-founder, Ashley O'Keefe.
Your partner,
the pair of you are really setting some great stuff on social media in particular. So tell me about Unite UK.
So basically I started it about 2 years ago, I want to say, when I came out. I kind of felt a lack of representation for myself. And coming out, I'm from a very small village in the Midlands, and I didn't feel part of anything. So I went online and started my own little community. And within the first couple of months, loads of people, mostly from America, which I was surprised at, but loads of people reaching out to us and saying, oh, we're going through the same kind of things. And from there, it's really just grown. We're doing different topics, speaking to different people globally. And it's really fun to do, to be honest, yeah.
It is. I mean, like, it's so amazing how these things can grow. And it's international as well, like you said. Yeah. I mean, you've got over 11,000 followers on Instagram now, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. It's only been in the last 6 months, I want to say, me and Ashton have been taking it seriously.
Yeah.
Because I work full-time. Ashton's just finished university. So in the last 6 months, I want to say, our audience has doubled really quickly. And I think it's because we're putting the time and effort into it as well. But we're talking about topics that I think a lot of people can relate to. And obviously with what's going on in LGBTQ topics at the moment, with Brunei and Russia and all this, I think it's a really big topic where people want to be unified and feel part of a community.
Yeah. Go for it. Go on.
No, I was just going to say, I felt like recently we've seen a lot more youngsters talking about it, which is great to see. But on the flip side, there's a lot of confused kids out there. So that's where our blog hopefully tries to step in and like gives them options what they could identify as, I guess.
Well, it really does. I mean, even just looking at your website, you've got coming out stories, queer voices, you do campaigns, polls. What I love in particular about your Instagram page is that you your posts are very statemented, but they're to the point. But for a platform like Instagram, that is something that is really going to sort of appeal to a particularly a younger audience. But also, like you say, the great thing is that, you know, there might be people coming from small towns or even families or don't have that support network.
Yeah.
So to have something online where, like you say, they can feel like they are part of something, some sort of community, is really actually going to be, in some cases, quite a lifeline. You know, what has been the response from young people in terms of what they've been seeing when they take part in your campaigns or your polls? You know, what's been the overall response for that?
They've said they feel part of a family, and they said they feel part of a community, which obviously they don't have. With the Breaking the Norm campaign we've just done, breaking all stereotypes around LGBTQ topics, a lot of people were like, oh my god, I was like, as a femi lesbian, I was telling kids they don't have to look masculine, they don't have to look like butch. And we've had so many girls come up, like, messages and saying, oh my god, like, you are what I am, and I didn't think I could be gay, which is crazy to me, but it's a thing. So the response has been positive. Obviously, you're going to get people trolling you or, like, not agreeing with 100 things you say, but I think that comes with the nature of the topics, really.
Yeah, and exactly. And actually, you have to just keep going forward if you're ever going to start working towards making a change and raising voices. You know, because your followers are not just made up of people from the queer community. You've also got friends and allies. So I even noticed my sister was on there. I was like, oh, look at that. So that was good. Sorry, she don't bloody follow me. She's following you, bloody sheep. But, you know, but no, I saw she was. I thought, oh, that's really great. You know, and it is educating people as well, isn't it? You know, so it's not just about, you know, it's about being there as a supporter network, but also educating people. And just going back to that Breaking the Norm campaign that you did, because you do a lot of campaigns and polls, I noticed. Yeah. Very quickly, so we can just wrap it up. Why is it important to you to make sure that we do sort of break the stereotypes? What's been that general overall consensus for that?
Because to me, I look very feminine, I am gay, but when I go out, people ask me, oh, have I got a boyfriend, have you? And it's just, I personally hate it, so I wanted to break the stereotype around that, but then I knew the whole community faces a lot of stereotypes that to a trans male would have a stereotype that really bugs them. So what I was really trying to do is trying to break this stigma about the community and trying to show that, yes, we're LGBTQ, but also we're human, same as straight people. And that was the main aim of the campaign, to show all the different stereotypes, but at the same time show that we're still humans behind it. Great. Really, and that's the basics of it, with all the different stereotypes. there.
Yeah, no, that's it. And that's why it's so important, because actually overall it's just always about being yourself, isn't it? You shouldn't have to feel like you conform or you fit in. That's what, you know, coming with your, if you know, your sexual orientation, it is fluid, and it doesn't mean that you necessarily stay in one place. That's like, you know, you never know who you're going to fall in love with. We all talk about love is love, right? So, you know, that's really nice to see that you are reaching out to so many people. So very quickly, just tell me, where can we find you in terms of your social media?
So probably Instagram's the best, and it's at @unite_UK1, and we're all there.
Great. Well, people, make sure you follow Charlotte and Unite UK One, because they are doing some amazing stuff, and I'm really excited to see what comes out of that more in the future. Thank you so much, Charlotte. Thank you, Ashley. Thank you. Take care. Bye bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Rockabye Baby. That's Rockabye, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah,
baby. Rockabye. You can put baby in if you like.
So that's a clean band, Sean Paul and Anne Marie.
She's got a good voice, Anne Marie. I like her.
Yeah. That's quite a nice track. Hannah liked it too. She was popping along.
I did. Yeah, it was great.
And not even out of breath.
No.
But still, no glow in the dark. Who, Luke?
I know, right?
I've seen the video now. It's quite cool.
I might give it another go this evening.
Yeah.
Yep.
We'll put it out on Shoutout's Twitter feed if you do that.
Right, definitely doing it. Probably to Queen.
Nice. Classy.
Anyway, should we get some news headlines?
Go on then. This is Shoutout News on Thursday the 9th of May.
Campaigners have welcomed the news that the small East Asian state of Brunei is to have a moratorium on the death penalty for gay relationships and for heterosexual adulterers. However, the harsh Sharia interpretation of traditional Islamic law has not been repealed, and there are many human rights issues still applying to the issue of religious law implemented by the monarchy, which rules the country with nearly absolute power. We will continue to report on issues as they develop in the coming weeks.
Yuri Kakachev has become the first Russian citizen to be prosecuted under a bizarre new amendment to the criminal code, which criminalises criticism of the state authorities in the increasingly authoritarian country. Radio Free Europe, a dissident radio network that broadcasts in Russia from transmitters located in Germany, says Mr. Kakachev has criticised the Kremlin over its failure to provide for pensioners in the country. He also posted on social media that President Putin's popularity was nothing to do with him, but instead due to the country's vast mineral wealth and reserves of gas and oil supplies. For his troubles, he has been fined 30,000 rubles under the recent legislation, which human rights groups note is a severe blow to the freedom of expression. The Russian government has made much opposition very difficult by a combination of criminality, media control, police harassment, with groups such as punk rockers, subcultural groups, religious sects and the LGBT community all targeted.
Gay Star News says that Dr. Kate Godfrey Fawcett, who is a fringe psychologist known for her outlandish theories, has been dropped by a debate due to take place in Cardiff. Dr. Godfrey Fawcett was revealed some weeks ago by both The Times and The Observer newspaper to have converted to a particularly radicalised branch of Islamic thought, and has started claiming that LGBT inclusive education is indoctrinating children. This prompted one commenter online to quip, "Surely it is religious conservatives that specialise in the recruitment of young people." Anyhow, LGBT activists have praised the Muslim Council for Wales, which has dropped the psychologist from the Forum on Education and Islamic Law. The Muslim Council says that it is committed to peace and justice for all humans, including those who are marginalised and who are in other minority groups. Meanwhile, the British Psychological Society is, according to GSN, considering whether Dr. Godfrey Fawcett has damaged the reputation of the profession with her unscientific and unempirical views.
Given Minsky's poor record on media and other rights, a complaints hotline for journalists should be created when Belarus hosts the 2019 European Games. Well, this is according to two European human rights activist groups who spoke to Radio Free Europe, a famous pro-dissident radio station that broadcasts to the democratically challenged countries via high-powered transmitters situated in Germany. The Human Rights Watch and Committee to Protect Journalists issued the call on the 3rd of May to coincide with World Press Freedom Day. Belarusian authorities have a long and sorry history of contempt for media freedom, so it is likely that they may harass independent journalists in the lead up to the European Games, said Rachel Denber, Deputy Central and European Director at Human Rights Watch. The European Olympics Committee should also be ready to address this. Belarus will host the Games, a multi-sport event for more than 4,000 athletes in the capital Minsk from June 21st.
Broadcasters can occasionally work together. In Britain, there are many tiers of radio ranging from small internet streaming stations via low-power student and community stations to commercial radio and the public service network, the BBC. This month, all levels are once again uniting to broadcast a one-minute message in support of mental health awareness. For the second year, Mental Health Minute will feature globally famous voices and unite stations all over the UK. From national networks such as those run by Global, Bauer and Wireless to smaller local stations and community stations, together with BBC Networks Radio 1, Radio 2 and 5 Live. The Minute Message will air simultaneously on May 13th at 10:59 a.m. on hundreds of stations and will focus on the value of listening and the positive role it can play on our mental health. The message will fall in line with Mental Health Awareness Week. Last year's message included their Royal Highness, the Duke of Cambridge and the incredibly handsome Duke of Sussex, along with gay icon Lady Gaga, Dame Judi Dench, David Harewood and feminist hero Dame Jessica Ennis-Hill. With apologies to the many LGBT Republicans, but we do note that both Dukes have inherited their mother's interest in mental health and well-being. If you are involved in community or internet radio and would like your station to get involved, be sure to visit media websites RCS Radio today to find out how to get on board.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Hans Peregrin
and Andy Holt.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go, Lady Gaga. And always remember us this way. I haven't seen the film. You said it's really good, is it?
Oh, I've watched it three times.
Yeah.
I love that woman. And I love that song.
What's the film called?
Star is Born.
A Star is Born.
Yeah. It's been done before, obviously.
Oh no, I know. I think we played that on the show before. It was a really nice song.
It is, and
lots and lots of dresses.
At the Met Gala.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yes. Were you getting envy?
Oh God, it was incredible. All of it. Some of the costumes didn't fit the theme.
I don't think it mattered, do you?
But Gaga's completely, was phenomenal.
It was.
Anyway, we ought to apologise because it is a change to our build schedule tonight. We were due to be talking to Avon Somerset Police, but unfortunately, owing to circumstances beyond their control, they weren't able to join us. So the lovely Alec has stepped in.
Hello.
So it's not because I'm sure the last few times I've heard you has been as part of your podcast where you took over from Polly. So
yes, so I did it in conjunction with Polly, and then Polly moved on to Pastures New, and I took over from her. In upstairs at Brixtow, so I took over the podcast, so it's been me on that as well. So I'm everywhere.
Prolific. Prolific.
Yes. But you very kindly come and saw, and it's something that's quite close to my heart too, because obviously I am the generation that remembers as a very young gay man that horrible tombstone falling advert that scared the living daylights out of me when I was a kid, and probably right the way through my 20s and probably even into my 30s. It still resonates even today.
It's so haunting.
And at the time, Kermit was designed to, for a very good reason, because they didn't know what was truly causing HIV and AIDS. Because it even originally started, of course, being called GRIDS originally, yes. gay-related immune deficiency syndrome, and yes. then very quickly changed because they realised it wasn't just gay men that were catching it. But things moved on a long way since then.
Yes.
I still, to this day, get asked, is there a cure? Do we think there's going to be a cure? Is there going to be a vaccine? Do we think there's going to be a vaccine? And
there's
a lot of people there's say there's sorts. Lots of hope and lots of things being found, but so far, not.
Well, there's a lot of research being ploughed in to HIV medication and the potential of a cure. The next big thing is probably going to be an injectable drug. So rather than yes. having to take a pill every day, it's a drug that's like slow release over a month or 2 months. And that is in very good stages of trial. And that's going to help loads of people.
Now, I don't want to talk too much about PrEP because you're here next week
talking about PrEP. The drug is for just normal HIV medication, which help you to become undetectable, which is why I'm here.
Cool. So that's
U equals you. Okay. So
because I know with PrEP as well, there's trials going on for one where you get a monthly injection as opposed to a regular pill too.
So. Probably. There's so many.
There's lots of developments. Yeah, going on, but
it's a funny place because like the money being spent into HIV research is really, really high, but actually when it comes to the funding from local government and local authority into sexual health testing and sexual health services is being cut, so it's they're both kind of being in a weird place at the minute. But
the biggest, not necessarily discovery, but it's been an observation, hasn't it, is this whole U equals U, which
yes.
Is popping up more and more yes. on things like Grindr and Recon and Gaydar and the like. And a lot of people go, what on earth is U equals U?
So for me, it is probably the biggest breakthrough in HIV since the introduction of ART, which is your antiretroviral therapy, which is the medication that people living with HIV take. So since then, this is probably the biggest breakthrough. And people in the sector started to get aware of this back in 2008 with a Swiss statement that said that people living with HIV on effective treatment cannot transmit the virus onto their sexual partners. We've had a number of studies since then. Over 126,000 acts of sex have taken place between HIV positive people and HIV negative people, and there hasn't been one linked transmission. So on Friday, The Lancet, which is quite a highly regarded medical journal, published the results of the Partner 2 study, which specifically looked at men who have sex with men. And that was about 77,000 acts of sex in that. And again, there wasn't a linked transmission between the HIV positive person and the HIV negative person. So we can safely say now that people living with HIV who are undetectable, which means the level of virus in their blood is at an undetectable level, cannot in any way transmit the virus onto their sexual partners. And that's regardless of gender or sexuality. So men, women, trans folk, straight people, bi, gay, lesbian, if you're undetectable living with HIV, you can't transmit the virus on.
Which is brilliant news. Really, really good news.
It's amazing.
One of the biggest things around it has always been the stigma, isn't it? I've got several friends who are HIV positive, and they all say the same thing. The minute I tell someone, there's like this barrier goes up from my other friends, and it's like I hear comments like they say they made me feel dirty.
Yes.
And
language is still being used. So people, like, I know I'm speaking from a gay man's perspective, but on Grindr and the apps, I still get asked, am I clean? And what they mean by that is, am I free of any sexually transmitted infections? But if I was to disclose that I'm HIV positive, the opposite of clean is dirty. So then is that subconsciously what you're going to see me as? Mm. And if I am dirty, am I devaluing are you devaluing my worth as a fellow human being because you see me as dirty?
Yeah. Whereas actually, it's a horrible term to say, are you clean?
Yeah, I'd rather you just ask me, are you HIV positive? I disclose on Grindr anyway, but that's by the by.
Now, we ought to talk about especially casual sex as well, because this isn't a message to say suddenly it's okay to start like having unprotected sex with lots of different people, and it'll be far, far better, because if they're you equals you, you won't get it. That's not what this is about, is it?
No, this is just saying that people living with it's, I like, personally, for me, it's a case of, it's unrealistic to think that every time you're going to have sex, you're going to be wearing a condom. Things happen. You're caught in the moment, alcohol after a night out. A huge number of things can happen, which means that that condom isn't there or breaks. And if that is the case, if you're, the person you are having sex with is HIV positive and they are undetectable, it means that you are free from risk of contracting HIV. Obviously, with regards to all of the other sexually transmitted infections that are out there, it's not going to protect you, and you would still need to go and get tested. But this is just saying that when it comes to HIV, somebody living with HIV on treatment can't pass it on.
Can I ask you, Alad, when this was released across the international TV and radio stations, what were the presentations? What did you feel like? Because those presentations to me were absolutely so positive.
Yes, it was incredible to wake up on Friday morning and see pretty like front page of The Guardian and every single national TV news channel, the major stations reporting on this, and reporting on this in a positive way, because we haven't had a government-backed public health campaign since the 90s with those tombstones, which a lot of people hold on to that rhetoric. And it's completely changed now for people living with HIV, and the story of people living with HIV has changed. So to wake up on Friday and to see that everywhere, it was amazing. It was really positive. It was all fact. There was no bias. There was no stigma from it. Yes, it did focus heavily on men who have sex with men, so gay and bisexual men, but that is because of the results of the Partner 2 study, which only specifically looked at men who have sex with men. But we know through other studies that undetectable is across the board for everyone, regardless of gender or sexuality, like I said. But it was incredible. And for
people who are in, I forget, there is an official term for it, but for people in a relationship where one is positive and one is negative, it must be a huge relief for those, they haven't got to worry. Because, you know, I know it is something that can be, you know, it can be a relationship killer in some...
For some people and for some circumstances it can, and for them as well, this statement is huge. I think as a HIV positive person myself, waking up to that news on Friday, it was amazing. It will, for HIV negative person, it's raising awareness, and for HIV positive people, it is another thing that is hopefully going to help reduce stigma against those living with HIV, which is probably our next biggest thing that we're going to need to tackle when the medication has come so far. Like I say personally, it's not medically, HIV isn't going to kill you anymore in this country, but socially it can. So that's the next biggest thing I think we need to focus on. And news like this and such positive coverage of this statement on Friday is going to do, hopefully, a lot of good. It's going to be amazing.
Also, another very good reason, if you're sexually active, to make sure you get regularly tested.
God,
too.
Yes.
because the sooner you are on medication and undetectable, the sooner you won't be able to pass it on to someone else, too.
Exactly. That's 100% right, Andy. Like, we just need people to get tested. And the sooner you get tested, the sooner you get put on treatment if that result comes out as a reactive result. And then the sooner you become undetectable, which then means you can't pass it on. You know, it's one of the major reasons why the five major clinics in London last year saw like an 80% reduction in newly HIV diagnosed cases. And it's because people are getting tested sooner and positive people are now getting treated and they're adhering to their treatment.
And as we will talk to you about next week, PrEP's had a huge effect as
a
well,
massive effect, yes.
So, and but we won't talk about that next week, because we'll ruin next week's show. So, thank you for coming in, mate. Especially
anytime,
at such short notice as
anytime.
Well. It's really, really kind of you. And also to talk so openly about it as well. Yeah. It's not an easy thing to do on the radio, so we do appreciate it. But if people want to find out more about about it. Is Brigso one of the people to talk to?
Yeah, definitely. So all of the major kind of third sector organisations or even professional now, they're all endorsing U equals U and they're all backing this statement. So if you want to know more information and you're based in Bristol, pop onto the Brigso website at www.brigso.org and there is a U equals U section on there under HIV info. If not, just look at any of the others. So go on to THT. If you tap in U equals U onto Google, pretty much all of them are going to say exactly what I've just stated on here. So, but if you're Bristol based and you want to know more or you want to give us a call, it's an open door. So drop us a message on any of our social medias or give us an email or visit the website.
Cool. Listen, thank you very much for joining us, mate.
Thank you for having me.
And we will catch up with you again next week.
It's so soon.
But so for now, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
It's gonna be
That's Ellie Goulding, and anything could happen, and that's certainly true when you're broadcasting this step. What is it?
I'm not saying a word.
I say she's very quiet in the corner over there.
I'm waiting till next week, Andy.
She hasn't let you on a little secret tonight.
Oh.
She's tried very hard not to laugh. Because she got poked and prodded by the dentist earlier. When you make her laugh, it hurts.
I
made her laugh off air before we went, before the show started.
I can't, like, don't do that. I can't open my mouth enough even to put a banana in there. Just saying.
Oh, you have to lower the tone, don't you?
Sorry?
Anyway, shall we go?
We're talking vegetarianism here. That's not just because you like meat and I don't.
It could be veganism, you never know. It's banana. It's
well, hands is.
Anyway, shall we find out about straight allies?
Yes, go on then.
Hi and welcome to Under the Brolly, the My Umbrella LGBT Plus podcast. We are currently on episode 5 and today we're going to be talking about straight allies. My name's Steve.
And my name's Tom.
A reminder of what this podcast is about and why we're doing it. To spread awareness of the lesser known LGBT Plus identities, including gender, fetish and kink. Now, many of you may be wondering why this month we're going to be talking about straight allies. Well, as it seems we're kicking off our Pride season, and after recently returning from Swansea Pride, and with Exeter Pride looming on the horizon this weekend, we felt it was only appropriate to celebrate the fact that without our straight allies and those people out there that help to challenge homophobia, transphobia and biphobia, the LGBT plus community wouldn't be anywhere near where it is currently.
And to start with, let's describe what the actual straight ally flag looks like, because it is a flag. As you may have gathered, there's quite a few flags. So, Steve, how would you describe this flag?
Well, I'll describe the flag after I've described essentially the differences between the two flags that people often get confused with. So a lot of people that turn up to our Pride events don't identify on the LGBT plus spectrum. Essentially, these are heterosexual individuals. Now, a lot of people that we've spoken to previously state that they're actually nothing to do with Pride, and as such, we do take a little bit of pleasure in showing them what the heterosexual flag actually looks like. Now, to describe it to you, the best way is essentially more accurately to describe it as 50 shades of grey, as the flag itself goes from a darker grey to black colour at the top, right the way through to the different spectrums with white at the bottom. Now, in comparison to the straight ally flag, which is a black and white flag with horizontal lines going from top to bottom in the background, with a rainbow triangle going from red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and then violet purple at the bottom. Now, as I'm sure a lot of you can imagine, in comparison to the heterosexual flag being 50 shades of grey, most people would want to get behind the straight ally flag, and it's no surprise to the reason why.
I really like the heterosexual flag because it does actually look like the rainbow flag in black and white, which kind of is a bit dull, really. So when people see that flag, they often don't want to be associated with it, so it's quite nice to have something which is still kind of the same ethic behind it. It's got the straight side to it, but it's got the rainbow side that's not necessarily representing someone who's LGBT. It's got the ability to make them feel part of the community, even though they may not be identifying as LGBT.
So just for more clarity and essentially to help people to describe essentially when we say straight ally, the definition that we found from our booklet itself states a person who identifies as a heterosexual but supports the LGBT plus communities and the activities. Now that essentially is from our own booklet alone, and if you out there listening to our podcast want to know more about the different LGBT plus genders, identities, sexualities, kinks and fetishes, feel free to go onto our website www.myumbrella.org.uk and click on the shop link at the top, where you can find a link through to our Etsy store where you can purchase one of our guides to LGBT+. Now, going into more detail, if you go onto Wikipedia, the definition that you actually get from that, as everybody I'm sure knows Wikipedia very well, a straight ally or heterosexual ally is a heterosexual and cisgender person who supports equal civil rights, gender equality, LGBT social movements, and challenges homophobia, biphobia, and transphobia. Despite this, some people who meet this definition do not identify themselves as straight allies. Now, I'd like to just draw the line at this particular point, because essentially, just because you're a straight ally will not mean that you, being involved in a pride event will automatically mean that people will point the finger at you as being part of the LGBT plus spectrum and essentially throwing everything else at you that you feel as though you do not warrant as being associated with the LGBT plus community. If anything, I would like to reach out to all straight allies out there as we kick off our pride season and ask that we need you more than ever with everything that's been going on, looking at Pride in London last year with the L with the T situation that we had, and also more recently at some of the more recent events, in particular Swansea Pride. We need as much help as possible within the LGBT plus community with our straight allies to stand together as brothers and sisters and allies to really start to push the boundaries of challenging transphobia, biphobia, acephobia, homophobia, and all the other phobias that exist out there that essentially are quashing and preventing the LGBT plus community from flourishing and celebrating the fact that regardless of what your gender, what your sexuality, what your orientation, what your kink, what your fetish, and everything else on top, regardless of what any of those are, love is still love and should be celebrated between all individuals.
So if you'd like to see us at some Pride over the summer, we've got a couple coming up before our next episode. So the next one we have is on the 11th of May in Exeter. I believe that's in the park in Exeter.
I believe it's actually Northern Hay Gardens, where we were last year and the year before. I recall very distinctly that there was a video that existed of us trying to put up a gazebo.
Okay. And then on the 1st of June, we are in Oxford for Oxford Pride. Woo! I don't think I've been there before. Have you been there?
Well, Oxford?
Yeah.
It's nice. It's got a college. No, it's got a university.
Pride. Have you been to the Pride?
Ooh.
Oh, okay. We then have some more throughout the summer, but we'll keep you updated. And also a big thank you to everyone who was involved at Swansea Pride, because we had a little stall there. Apologies that we weren't able to record anything, but we were right by the stage, so it was a brilliant performance, but quite noisy.
There were some fantastic acts on there, and we would like to just reach out to Swansea Pride to say thank you so much for having us there. And if you do want us back, we would love to be back next year.
And also thank you to Chrissy for all her help on the day, because we had a small team, but we did well.
Small team, but yeah, that's probably the best. That's not accurate way to describe it. Yeah, small team did well.
So we'd love to hear from you and your different identities and all the stories you have to tell. If you'd like to meet us at Pride, feel free to come along and I can record some interviews with you. We can get in touch with us.
Yeah, you can get in touch with us for a number of different reasons, or a number of different ways, in fact. Yes, you can email us, which is info@myumbrella.org.uk. Do put in the subject line under the brolly so we know where to send it to and who to send it on to. So if you want to be featured, or you think that your gender, sexuality, identity, orientation, kink or fetish needs to be featured more prominently, then please get involved.
We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for My Umbrella and again use the hashtag under the brolly.
Yeah, we're also on Instagram as well. Again, search for My Umbrella. You can kind of see a theme here.
And hopefully soon we'll have our own pages available, which will advertise on the My Umbrella social media platforms. Until then, we'll see you next month in sunny June.
Woo! Bye! Bye.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
I'm sorry, that is not Cher.
No, that was Hans Peregrine. live in the studio singing Believe.
Yeah, my debut. You're welcome. Yes.
It's funny she's still singing and you're talking.
Yeah, that's just a really, really clever trick by Shout Out Radio.
But no, genuinely, that's not Cher. Like, that's, oh, you sped it up or something.
Well, that is Cher.
That's not Cher.
I'm telling you, that is Cher's belief. Yes. She's just been put through a synthesizer. Yeah.
It is. Well, no, I know the synthesizer bit, but that's higher than Cher's version.
Look, that's her.
You sped it up, haven't you?
I haven't done anything. Look, it's an H&H mix. It's fine. It's okay. It's Cher. And I didn't do anything to the speed.
Yeah. Are you sure?
Positive.
I believe you.
Yes. Oh, new BBC series coming up. Gentleman Jack. Who thought there were lesbians in the 1800s?
Well, if you ask Ella.
She would know. Yeah. See, that's why we should have Ella still with us. Thanks, Ella, for leaving us. We need to get
her
in to talk
about it.
She does. And we'll be meeting her at the BPAs, won't we?
Yeah,
the
Bush Podcast Awards. Yeah, we're up there this Saturday.
We are,
fingers,
yes.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're up against Chris Moyle, so I'm not overly hopeful.
And BBC Sounds.
Yeah, I know. It's a quite stiff competition, but we're in the finals.
And Listener Choice Awards.
Oh, yes, we're now in the Listener Choice Awards. So so do go on to the British Podcast Awards website and search out Shout Out.
Got till next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm. And, because even if we don't take the award, what category are we in? Oh, radio, radio broadcast ones, podcast.
Yeah, you have to be a radio show that's made into a podcast. Yeah. And we're on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Did you know there was the word lesbian wasn't invented until recently? Funny that.
I've got a whole show on the word lesbian somewhere. It's in a box because I've moved.
Oh, you but did the letters, didn't you, with Ella?
Yeah, we did. We looked into LGBT and the names and where they came from, and all the history behind them. And of course, lesbian's got the biggest one of the lot. It's named after Lesbos.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
No, which is where it's Greek island, I think. Yeah. Isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes. Well done, 10 points for you.
Well, we know a little of geography.
It's where I was threatened to be sent as a young person. If you carry that on, you're going to Lesbos.
Who said that?
People. Comedians
and
at
you
school.
Went and you went, oh no,
oh yeah, that would be absolutely horrendous.
That'd be hell.
Yeah, have you been? No, I haven't. No, but in my head, it was just an island of lesbians.
Well, it was technically, kind of, sort of. Yeah. When I find the piece, when I finish unpacking, we'll play it. I promise.
Okay, sounds good.
Anyway, that's it again for another week.
We'll be back next week with information on the latest punker.
Also, transforming sexual health.
And the latest LGBTQ book chart.
If you want to listen to any of this show again, or you want to catch up on any others, just head over to shoutouttoradio.lgbt, which is where you find them all.
So, until next time.
From myself, Steph, Hannah and Andy, say goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.